Welcome to another episode of Building Tech Talk. And as usual, we have resident experts, but we have three resident experts today from ZS2 Technologies.
Two and a half.
We'll be generous to you. So we have, as usual, we have our co-founder and CEO, Scott Jenkins. And then we have Shil Patel, our director of US sales. And then the dean, we have Candace Wolf, our director of tech partners. Is there a better name for that?
Tech partner development.
I like the dean of Zed like University.
I gravitate towards that.
The dean.
But has put together an incredible training package for ZS2 tech partners. So today we're talking about, okay, how do you take something, you have a new idea, you have new products, we're trying to change construction, we're trying to make the world a better place. How do you do that? And it's easy to have an idea, but how do you get that idea out to people? How do you get it in the marketplace? How do you get people adopting that? And so, Scott, I'm going to just start talking with you first, just to talk about the concept in general. When it comes to a business, it's easy to invent something relatively. It's okay to have an idea, but how do you then distribute it? From a business perspective, how big of a challenge is that for not just the construction industry, but really businesses in general?
Yeah, it's so this is a great place to start, I think. It's even more challenging for folks like ourselves or other businesses out there that operate in such large industries. And if you think about it, you know, in terms of what we're trying to bring to market or others in terms of innovation, sustainability, affordability, we're doing so, as an example, in the construction industry, the world's largest industry. So it's even more daunting. I always think back to a video I saw a long time ago with Simon Sinek, and it was, you know, the bell curve of adoption of new technologies or new products. And I think he was referencing, you know, even whether it was the iPhone or others. And he talked about early adopters. There's those early adopters. And so I think for today's conversation and a lot of the work that both Shil and Candace are focused on is finding those early adopters. Mm-hmm. But here's the trick. Not just finding the early adopters to be our client or be someone's client or buy your technology or product, but find the early adopters to then become the folks out there telling the story, mm-hmm. become your partners in telling the story. I think that's the secret. And it's not easy, but if you find those early adopters and they really believe in what you're doing, have them go out and find more adopters. And it multiplies.
Yep.
And that's the secret. Not easy, though. Not easy at all.
So, Candace, as we've scaled up and as there's been more tech partners coming on board, it's easy to say, oh, go find early adopters. But what have you been finding as far as people who are those early adopters? What attributes do they have? What do you look for? What kind of people are they that take on a new technology and want to, as Scott was saying, share the word about it and bring it to their markets?
I think they are similar to us as an organization, the ones that we've kind of partnered with. They are basically, they're major educators. They love to go out and just share their knowledge with the industry, with anyone not in the industry, kind of like Scott does, right? Like, he just loves to tell everybody our story. It's that similar personality. They're excited about what we're doing, and they believe in the innovation. Like Scott mentioned, innovation is tough because it's not like you're introducing a brand new product to the market. You're introducing a version of an old one, right? An improvement on an old one. And especially in the construction industry, there's so many folks who have always done things the way they've done them. It's a tough task. So you need that excitement, that enthusiasm, forward thinkers. And as well, our tech partners especially just have that expertise, like having a group of people behind you who have that expertise.
I think that's a really good point. And Shil, you've been working directly with a lot of our distribution partners. And I think something that we've learned and probably can be useful for folks listening is enthusiasm isn't necessarily enough.
True.
They also need a certain amount of prowess in whatever industry you're trying to get into. They can't, it's easy to get people excited, but what have you noticed about the partners we've been working with? Mm-hmm. Like, what makes them successful from your perspective?
So even to piggyback off what Candace said a little bit, it's like that early adoption phase, and our partners know their market so well. They understand that there's a change needed for those markets and how to implement new materials, or they've been through some of the struggles with a house burning down or a flood coming through. So finding those more sustainable materials that we're trying to present to them and them educating their own markets is what's driving the whole conversation and implementing regulations. Understanding what we know about regulations through them helps us benefit further on bringing out ZS2's value proposition overall.
You know, if I would touch on, you know, what Candace and Schiller are saying is, you know, as you're bringing new technologies, new solutions, and Candace made a good point, we're not, it's not something brand new. Mm-hmm. It's just we've improved on something that's been around for a while and taken it finally, I think, to where it needs to be. What Schill's saying, the local partners, and you get these folks who, they want to differentiate themselves in their own markets. They want to be leaders themselves. Mm-hmm. They may have a focus on sustainability, affordability, efficiencies.
Yep.
They see the challenges in their local markets. So if we can arm them and partner with them to help solve the local challenges, that's kind of the key. Yeah. So maybe that's sort of my long-winded way of saying, really building what you're saying, is it's helping them then go find their clients, their partners, but doing so that they are the problem solvers in their local market.
Yeah, like we do, I mean, I think for this model to be successful, we do a lot of the, you know, research and development, testing and certification. We market nationally, internationally, but then we hand the baton to them. So we need to ensure that group, that team that we're handing the baton to, is capable. And I mean, obviously our team is, our partners are capable, but I think, yeah, you have to be crystal clear on who you're partnering with in order to have that success.
But how much of a two-way street is that, where we educate through our ZU program, educating our tech partners and our distributors, but how much do we learn from them?
There's lots of hurdles. So we've gone through different codes and regulations that we have to come in with, building variant solution forms where we're not fully certified in areas, but we know there's a path to navigate around it or implement our materials through there and supporting our partners through it. From us, Candace, myself, and the rest of the sales team, supporting them locally, but then them also giving us feedback on their local markets on how to adopt ZS2 into those areas.
You know, a great example, a tangible example of this, and Chill's been heavily involved with this, and then Candace developing the foundational materials, programming, information to support our partners, is really our recent certification for Miami-Dade and hurricane certification for our Florida product numbers. Our projects to date in California, you know, Oregon upcoming, north of the Arctic Circle, British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Texas. In those markets, Texas would be a little different. They would have this. But we haven't had to worry so much about hurricane certification. Now, in those markets, there's very strong winds. There's terrible storms. But now learning from our Florida, our Alabama, our South Carolina, I guess also our Texas partners that, no, this is an important challenge for housing, for schools, for clinics, for our commercial builds. And so we've really worked in partnership with them to learn what is required to meet those requirements. And proud to say, of course, now we've completed our first projects in the Bahamas, Florida's upcoming, Texas is complete. So. Etc. There's just a tangible example there.
Yeah.
And actually all of the educational materials, a lot of the collateral that we provide to our partners are designed because of feedback that they've given us and things that they say they need. And even some of the products we're creating, like we have a prototype going on right now that was kind of came about because of our tech partners. Yep. So
Scott, it almost sounds like from a business strategy perspective for bringing new products to market, it's almost an accelerator to work with a diverse group of stakeholders in different areas that are also trying to grow their business. It almost makes your business grow faster.
You know, Matt, I hadn't thought of that, but I think actually you just absolutely nailed it. It's an accelerator for both sides of the partnership. Mm-hmm. The feedback loop helps take that time of development of innovative construction solutions for those local markets and really compress that timeline. You're right. I forgot. Obviously, we're working right now on a really interesting prototype for one of our partners, and it was their feedback and the potential that's driving our investment on their behalf and our behalf. I really like that.
But it's not always easy.
No.
From, you know, if it was, everybody'd be doing it. Mm-hmm. And so, Shell, I think you've been at the forefront of a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
And a lot of sometimes things don't go right. Sometimes things don't move ahead. What are some of the, especially in the construction, let's keep it focused on the construction industry, obviously, like bringing a new technology into a industry that's very slow to change from a regulatory standpoint, from a user standpoint. As you've tried to work with different groups and stakeholders, what are some of the hurdles, the roadblocks you run into?
There's lots. So
where to begin?
There's always a solution for something. So you're always trying to find solutions using what we have. Some of the roadblocks that we've seen are, do you have the right testing reports? Big architect organizations wanting to use our materials and certifications when we're a growing company. We will invest into it and get there eventually. But right now, this is what we have and how we can navigate and help you implement our solutions in your local markets. Might not be big jobs to start. It might be small ones. And then slowly adaptation comes to where we can grow it. But right now we're seeing that type of model working. And now we're getting the bigger jobs in local markets that are starting to become very exciting. When it comes to fire, water, there's always going to be new categories of something that comes up in building and construction. And it's very challenging, but we're just trying to push through every day on different solutions on regulations. So knowing that we can come into it with a sit panel solution is what we specialize in, again, stick frame construction, and how we can use our local partners to kind of change the game over there.
Is there a certain amount of not trying to like boil the ocean kind of thing where it's sometimes easier to go in with those smaller projects? And even if you're a builder or a one of our partners, is it easier to do a pilot project, do a small scale and get through some of those hurdles first before you go after the massive development where you're dealing with a lot of different moving parts? Is there an incremental aspect to it?
There is. And then some markets are actually quite easier to get into. The ones that are more difficult, you bring in a pilot project, you talk to the regulatory officials, building departments, inspectors, making sure they're all on board and happy and excited about the material. When we've seen our projects go through, where, like in California, for instance, the regulations came through, building inspectors, and everybody was excited. They're like, this is what we've been needing for a very long time. And so having that known to them, and now they know they have the right company behind them, is what's going to steer this forward and help us grow as a company.
I think it's interesting too, because one of our biggest challenges is one of our biggest assets, and that's geography.
Yeah.
You know, we're using this distribution model to scale fast, and getting information to all of our partners across North America in a clear, concise way, and everybody understands it, and vice versa, getting a feedback loop back to us in Calgary here. That's also been challenging. So, you know, coming up with different tools and platforms that we can use to be able to deploy that information as best as we can has been fun.
I'd say challenging and super exciting.
Yeah. It's like a little bit of both. It's a little bit of,
But I think that also speaks to what you were talking about before, where you have to have a partner who's eager and excited and wants to learn, because you've put so much work into developing educational material.
Yeah.
If there's not a receptive audience on the other side to take the time to absorb that, and then they're able to then sell it in their market, it's not going to work for them. And so I guess maybe if it's, there's some advice for building companies throughout North America who are looking to grow their business and meet some of these building challenges, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's speed of construction, whether it's the environmental standards, is it fair to say like that you have to want to learn?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because like, you know, we've mentioned this a few times, it's new, it's innovative. That's definitely, you have to want to learn, but also if you're an organization that's wanting to do this and, you know, have a partner model, you have to be prepared to support the heck out of them with tools, resources, a team, mm-hmm. like actual humans to be able to get them,
yeah.
make them successful.
It's, you know, we've decided, as, you know, I think other innovative companies have, to make a very large investment in building that foundational piece. You know, part of that is Zed University. You know, Candace has really, you know, led that among many other things in terms of supporting the partners. Shill's work, you know, his travels and being in their markets, you know, with the certifications, mm-hmm. the testing, unique developments. It's that foundational support for our, you know, our growing partner network. One thing I do want to touch on, though, is ultimately for our partners, and there's a growing list of them, and, you know, it's fantastic, throughout North America, they've recognized that there's a tremendous market opportunity to be different, to drive change in their local markets, because construction is changing whether it wants to or not as an industry. Mm-hmm. The building codes are rapidly changing for energy efficiency and resiliency. The insurance companies are driving change where the costs are going up to insure both in construction and post-construction wood. Framed construction as an example, yeah. and the rates are going through the roof. Our growing population, our lack of housing, mm-hmm. our need for more community health clinics rather than necessarily big hospitals. So the opportunity is, well, it's the world's largest industry. And for those that want to be on the leading edge, not the bleeding edge, the leading edge, then we're ready because the foundation has been built. Thanks to these two.
Even to touch base on that a little bit, is a lot of the trades, these boomers are leaving the market right now, and there's not a lot of framers in the industry anymore. So they're going to have to try to find ways to bring in other resources or different building methods to make it easier and adaptable to scale up for a growing economy. With the recession and also with how housing is going these days, we need to be able to be deployable, rapid deployment of homes, rather than waiting for a framer to put it up in 2 weeks when we could do it in 3 to 4 days, depending on the size of the home. So having those type of factors come into play are going to be very crucial in the next coming years.
I think there's also a certain aspect of, as far as growing solutions and growing and meeting those needs. I think a lot of businesses, and this is where this whole thing comes in interesting, a lot of businesses, they're very inward and then out. Mm-hmm. Here we have our solution. Let's push it out to the marketplace. Whereas what I've seen with our team and you especially, Shil, is having a bit of a open mind when somebody, one of our partners, comes to us and says, "No, actually, this is our problem. How do we solve this?" Mm-hmm. And that actually drives innovation the other direction, mm-hmm. from just you know, inward out trying to sell people on things. It's how can you develop a solution that now other people need. So I know you've been working on a couple of, I'll put you on the spot a little bit. What, can you kind of point to an example where somebody was helping drive you and to come up with something that we may not have thought of?
I would say Florida's a big one with the Florida product number and getting implementation into there now that we're fully certified. And then the roofing industry. The roofing industry was approached to us by a couple partners being like, if you can fix a solution with a board and a foam package, you are literally going to be deployable all throughout North America, where you're saving on time, you're also giving higher R values to our materials, and then you're fire, mold, and water resistant. Can you figure it out? And as a team, so far at Zed2, because we have such a great team, all of us thought about it, brainstormed it, figured out a prototype. Now we're trying to implement it into the market using these partners to see if it's going to be a viable solution.
Now, for the record, when Chill says all of us, it's always important to note here, I am not allowed to participate in product development, and that's a good thing. It's an amazing team that I am here to support and maybe bring coffee on weekends like I did this weekend for the manufacturing crew. Yeah.
And actually, Chill said, you guys, we have to do this. And then we all just kind of jumped on board because, well, we got it. I mean, this is just kind of what we do. It's just sort of how the team is here. So
I think that also speaks to a little bit of culture where, and not just culture within a company, but a culture of your partners that you bring in. And so Candace, for you, have you developed that a little bit where partners are excited to bring ideas and bring that two-way communication that helps us grow, but also helps them grow? What are some of the ways that that happens?
I mean, I think you touched on it is communication. I'm a huge advocate for communication in all walks of life and all areas of life, but this one especially. The language that we use when we deliver messaging, mm-hmm. when we give them material, it leaves the door open and we're always asking for feedback. And also, I think I've heard Shil on the phone before with them saying, what do you think? What do you guys think? You know, so we're constantly asking for that feedback.
Yeah, and collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Because their opinions matter. When we're trying to drive local partners to become successful, I'm always asking, what do you think that we need to do to help you grow in your market? And if we can do it, we'll do it. If not, then we'll work on it or work towards it. But there's always a solution for everything that we're trying to do.
Their success mm-hmm. is our success.
Yes. Exactly.
It's the true word of partnership.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. We're going to wrap it up with a quick roundtable. Going from Shil towards Candace, let's just in one or two sentences, if you're a building company looking to succeed in what's a rapidly changing marketplace, what are the attributes you need? What do you need to do now? What do you need to be doing in the next week, the next month, and the next year to be successful in the next decade?
That's a good question. I would target the roofing industry. That's the biggest one for us right now. I'm super excited about our prototype coming out, and I'd like to get more feedback from builders and roofers to see if we can implement a new solution for them to make it faster and stronger and safer.
All right, Scott.
Climate resilient structures, building technologies aren't a nice to have anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In North America, they're a need to have. That's where the future of construction lies. Mm-hmm. And we're already there, it says too.
I would say get yourself educated. If you don't know about the changes that are coming, get reading about it and figure out what is happening in your market, in your country, in the world, and how you're going to be a part of it and how you're going to have that sustained relevance for your company.
There you have it. You've been told by the dean of ZU. Study up.
Get to school.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And as always, please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And just for fun on this one, if you learned something, be sure to leave a comment. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad.